Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier.
Do you get anxious at the thought of talking to an attractive woman? Are you on the other end of the spectrum, using women to fill a void in your life? And how does holding back have you missing out on great opportunities in all areas of your life? This week, Ray Brekka is on the show to discuss what you can do to go beyond the small talk and start to build deep attraction with that special someone.
This is where it all goes down, huh?
This is where the sexy happens.
This is hilarious.
Welcome to The New Man. Today I've got Ray Brekka. Who is this guy? Well, he's a workshop facilitator, coach, and public speaker. Ray, welcome to the show, buddy.
Trip, with an introduction like that, I'm feeling all warm and fuzzy inside.
Who the hell is this guy?
I keep asking myself that much. Why don't you tell me who I am? Because I forgot.
Well, Ray's here because we're going to tell you about an offering he's got at an event that's coming up later on. But first and foremost, like, you help guys in the realm of dating, relationships, and more specifically, like, creating attraction, right? Is that what you do?
Yeah, it's creating attraction and then really a deeper connection with women. One deeper than just the small talk you might do in a bar. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do I actually learn how to connect and have a conversation that doesn't run out of things to say within 2 or 3 minutes?
Because that's like the most painful thing when I, you know, like, man, I go up to her, but I don't know what to say.
Right.
Nice weather. I like your feet. Like,
you get a pretty smile. I remember I walked up to a table one time to these like four women, and I was nervous, and I said, "Hey, you might notice I'm not your waiter." And they said, "Yeah, well, you actually looked kind of like you could be a waiter." I'm like, that didn't go so well. And then I said, "Well, I'm just getting ready to take off, and I just want to say hi." I said, "Well, yeah, thanks for letting us know." So immediately,
hold on, let's get the wah, wah,
wah, wah. That was with you that day, I think. In fact,
I think I pushed you into that one.
Yeah, you did push me into that one.
But you did it, man.
I did it, and it was, on some level, I get like, for me, that was even terrifying. Even though I teach this work, there was this intensity I felt in my body when I went there. And then finally, what I was able to do with the gal that I wanted to meet is I said, "Hey, I actually feel..."
This was a table of like six women.
Yeah.
And you'd figure out, like, you had an attraction for one woman in particular.
That brunette, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course you do.
But you had how are you going to go in there and, you know, do this thing and not be putting on a game and not be putting on some bullshit kind of pickup artist thing? You went up and skillfully talked to those girls for a long time, and then it ended up getting to talk to this girl.
Well, here's the cool thing. It wasn't even skillful. It was like, it was painful. And then once I just kind of said, "Listen, I wanted to meet you. I just feel nervous, and this is really hard for me to walk all the way over here." Then all of them relaxed. Mm. And then the one gal said, "Yeah, I'm not really that tough." And I said, "Really?" A different experience. I said, "Who's the toughest one at this table? Who's the hardest one to like actually approach?" And they all pointed at that girl that was busting my balls. Mm-hmm. So, but what I noticed is the women actually started to relax the minute I said, hey, I'm a little nervous here, but here's why I'm here. So I told him why I was here. It wasn't like, hey, are you from Cleveland? How's the weather? I'm here to meet you, and I'm nervous. And then everyone else just relaxed, including myself.
I actually want to find out more about how you got into this stuff. I want to learn a little bit more about you. And actually just...
You're going to reveal some stuff I haven't even heard yet, so I'm looking forward to this.
But... This is kind of like behind the curtain stuff.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show. So, how did you get involved with doing this stuff? I mean, was meeting women always natural for you, even though it was edgy?
Well, hard to admit here, Tripp, but I used to have buck teeth, really bad skin, and my hair looked like Leif Garrett from the... And I had one of those little plastic combs in my back pocket.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Nice. So you walk, go into class, you pull that out and brush it back.
Nice.
And that's when I had hair too. So, but I was painfully shy. In fact, it used to be hard for me to hold hands with a girl, early on in my days. So women were really painful for me and they were confusing. And I didn't know how to do the thing called dating, relationship, and women. So it was really confronting for me early on. And then I made a shift when I left my environment and went somewhere new town, new place. It's in college when it started really kind of happening for me. I left this identity of being a really shy guy, that had the bad teeth, the bad hair, mm-hmm. got them fixed up a little bit. And then when I get this new place, I had this whole new identity.
I made my debut,
and no one knew. I was this dorky guy that couldn't meet women that was terrified of them.
Now, was the dorky guy still underneath? You know, you said you got some things fixed. You got kind of your outer thing going on a little bit better. But what was happening on the inside that helped you relax more and make things easier for dealing with the girls?
Yeah, I think there was still some level of was insecure on a lot of levels inside. Mm-hmm. But I was compensating a lot by, weightlifting and being in the popular group, playing football in college. So I still had some insecurity down below, but I made a shift fundamentally I don't have to be the shy guy anymore. Now I'm this guy that's playing football. I'm in a fraternity. Like, I'm doing all these things and I'm starting to get more popular. So externally, I was getting all the validations that I was going to be a cool guy.
And, you and I, full disclosure, we've been doing this work together for years. Mm-hmm. And we've been in men's groups together. And I always loved your story about how you got into doing men's work. And basically that ties right in with doing this work with attraction stuff. Mm-hmm. But you're the guy that everybody looks at and was like, man, he's got it all. Mm-hmm. He's a good looking guy. He's got the job. He's got the, tell me more about where you were.
Yeah, it was probably about 2004. And I just finished my 13th or 14th year of selling software, so high tech sales, very stressful, but I made a lot of money. And I hated it. I totally hated it. And I looked at what was going on for me is I always had women. I was always having sex. I was out there, but 3 months here, 3 months there, or it'd just be, it wouldn't be satisfying. So not only did my job suck, I was getting nothing from my relationships. And actually they were more distracting.
It's like your relationship to women was like the relationship to junk food. I'm not talking about the quality of the women necessarily, but just like we could just eat food and consume mm-hmm. food, but not really get any nutrition mm-hmm. from that. Is that?
That's totally it, man. It's like, if I look at it, like back then I hated my job, so I was looking for something else to fill me up and kind of be a lot more fun. Mm-hmm. And women was that, but I was out there, I wasn't clear, I didn't know what I want. So I just made dating a sport, and had mixed results. And I met a lot of women, but there were some things that just became really painful quickly in that setup.
And so you switched gears. What was next for you then?
I started going to these workshops all over the country and started to kind of find myself and go inside. And then slowly but surely, I started chipping away at all these things I thought were myself. I ended up quitting that job and I started working with people, initially one-on-one. So I started connecting to a place deeper inside of me about helping people.
And then how was that kind of showing up in the rest of your life? Were you finding more of that satisfaction in the day-to-day kind of thing?
It's a process. So for me, it was like I just started kind of moving in a direction and then I got a little more clarity. And a lot of guys I've talked to, and you've probably talked to on the phone, it's like they get stuck where they are because they don't have the big picture figured out.
So they don't have it all, the big plan and the big map.
Yeah, the big map. So I just started kind of following a hunch. And I knew that relationships with women were really pretty painful most of my life. So I said, that might be a good place to start. Mm-hmm. So I started kind of doing a lot of workshops around that, reading a lot of books. And then I found myself in these men's circles, in these men's retreats. And they weren't quite the fit I was looking for, but they opened my eyes to the possibility of once I get around some really kick-ass dudes, they can call me out on my shit. There's a lot possible. Because if you can handle a guy's feedback, when he calls you out on something, I found I was less reactive to a woman when she comes at you when she's really pissed or something you did is wrong, not okay. The more I could see myself more clearly with guys' feedback and the more intensity I could be with, then I could handle a lot more from a woman coming my way.
You know, I imagine there's a lot of guys out there like, if I just had the girl, if I could just get that girl to go on a date with me, mm-hmm. there's this thing of like, the girl is going to take care of that for me. Mm-hmm. And you actually had the privilege to be with lots of women, but you realized, hey, more women isn't necessarily, more isn't necessarily the answer right there. And actually quality time with men mm-hmm. was what started turning things around for you,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I never had a lot of just really solid, tight guy friends when I was mm-hmm. growing up. I moved around all the time. So I'd make a friend, we'd move on. So guys were not a part of my fabric growing up. I didn't have a lot of solid guy friends.
We was that a so shock much. For you to realize how much impact being around a group of solid guys could be?
Yeah, it was. It blew me away because I was like, why the hell would I want to focus hanging out with guys when women are out there? Like,
there's no women here.
If I go out on a Saturday night with two guys, like, that's one less night of women I can meet, you know? So I'm like, I never got it, man. So what the hell? Why would I do that?
right. But it was impacting you.
Yeah, I started to kind of see the places in myself where I sometimes would be needy or sometimes not clear or sometimes want something from a woman. And the guys helped me see kind of some of those things I was doing that I wasn't totally clear about or didn't want to own. And from that place, everything shifted.
And those are attraction killers, right? Those are the things like you yep. coming in and wanting something from her. Yep. She smells that.
Yeah. If you go up to a woman and say, hey, like, where are you from? Meanwhile, you're like, inside you're thinking, God, you're hot and I want to take you to bed. She may not know that's going on in your mind, but she's going to feel this disconnect between what you're saying and what your body's kind of sending. She's going to feel off of that connection. So yeah, being clear with your intentions, with your desires, your attraction, all those things I wasn't clear with before, like the more I could just bring those out and throw them out there and just, not only did I relax, but it gave me some amazing results with women.
Well, it's like you said, when you just speak the truth, right? Mm-hmm. You just speak like, hey, I was nervous about coming over here and talking right. to this table of six women. Everybody relaxes. And there's something about, it's not that what you're thinking is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's when we try to put something on top of it that makes it off. And so a lot of the work that you do is about helping guys just get in touch with what's true for them, right?
Yeah. What's true for them. And also this place of, you know, you've had these guys in your shows before with Coot and some other guys about just some core beliefs you'd inherit early on. So a lot of us walk around in this world having a belief like, I'm not enough. Mm. I don't make enough money. I'm not good looking enough. And so a lot of that is driving the show. It's kind of running the show.
Yeah. I don't deserve her. And
I don't
she
deserve
would never,
her.
Yeah.
Right. And so you go out and look for evidence of that all around. And then the way that shows up with women most painfully is like, you just hold back. Mm. Like you may go to this party, you see her all night, and 3 hours later, you're like, well, I'm ready to go talk to her now, and she's gone.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys I've worked with, they just hold back because of this belief that they're flawed, they're not good enough, I don't know what to say. So I work with a lot of guys on just getting clear on what the hell inspires you with women.
Right.
And then, okay, if that's the case, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And then I help you see, like, as you always say, I help guys see the spinach in their teeth. Mm-hmm. I love when you say that. It's like, so some guys don't see kind of what they're doing to really kill attraction. So neediness kills attraction, fear of rejection kills attraction, anything that's not okay in me kills attraction, if I'm wanting something and not owning it. I mean, there's several things that kill attraction, but that's what I work with guys on.
But help. This, you know, I think, you know, by and large, the guys that are listening to this and resonating are the guys that are single, but if I'm in a relationship, I can still lose attraction. Like I can lose attraction with my partner, lose that zing. I can, all the things that you're talking about happen within a relationship mm-hmm. too. So is this work just for singles?
No, it's not for singles. We just market to singles because you got to pick somewhere, right? But
yeah.
But most guys come, a lot of guys come to our course. Our last course, we had 8 guys that were married, you know? And so to your point, yeah, this is about relationship. And men and women, they're on different planets. Mm-hmm. What we say, we're very logical, rational. What they say in the moment, she may say, I hate you. And then the next may be laughing and crying and in love with you. And it's not going to make any sense to guys. So mm-hmm. a single guy, a guy in a relationship, a guy just got a divorce who's got a little rusty dating skills. It's just guys that want deeper connection with the women in their lives.
Yeah, I'm getting like anywhere that the dealing with the woman thing, quote unquote, is a drain in our life. You know, mm-hmm. we may be, you say you work with guys that are successful in all these other areas, but then, you know, this woman thing is off. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, it's just mostly like if you look at a lot of guys that I work with, and I think that you work with too, that they've attained some level of success in their life, whether it's they made a bunch of money, they've got properties. But if you started getting really down in there with them, it's like the one thing they want most in their life is like, God, I want a good woman who supports what I'm up to in the world, that I can create a life with that's more inspiring. And what I'm getting is this woman I'm settling for. I can't get her, so I'll just take her. And I'm living this quiet life of misery because what I want is not available to me.
Oh, man. And so many of those guys, the reason why they did well, the reason why they had these quote unquote successes was so they could get women. There was this, like, man, mm-hmm. if I have the car, if I have the house, if I've got the bank account, that'll be the sure thing. And a lot of times they realize after 2-3 divorces, probably, like, that doesn't do it. That's yeah. not enough. So, yeah, I've had a lot of guys just beating on the door, like, I've got to get this thing. This is killing me.
Yeah. I've had guys as young as 17 years old did our last course, mm-hmm. and the oldest client had a 72.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's not my ideal client, obviously, but there's guys that, and that during the spectrum, over the whole spectrum there, that just want connection.
Man, I talk to guys all the time. And they're like, well, I'm not single and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, if you're in a relationship, if you're interested in working with women at all, and even guys who are homosexuals would benefit from this, that we don't have a homosexual specific course, mm-hmm. but it's just about the dynamics of relating, creating attraction. That's just about finding the other partner.
Yeah. And so much of that attraction, like whether you're married or single, it's about taking risks. Mm-hmm. It's about taking risks and actually revealing what's there. Like if you're a guy who's married and you want to spice up in the bedroom, if you're holding that back and getting it on the internet or you're not being clear with it, you know, like that's where it can cause problems in relationships. So if you can start taking risks and explore what you're wanting, she may not honor that, but at least you're honoring yourself.
Yeah.
So instead of holding back, that's one thing that can really create attraction, whether you're married or single, is starting to really get clear on what you want and start bringing it.
Yeah. This is that area where I like to say, you know, you're a good guy, whoever I'm talking to, like you right. can really feel like the guy's a good guy, but mm-hmm. then it's just like this, what's the gateway to being a great guy? Mm-hmm. Where is he going to really start to own his balls and his belly and his heart and his brain and just be like, man, this is what I'm going for in this lifetime. And when I'm around dudes like that, I notice that not only me, but just people just want to help him out. Mm-hmm. They want to support him. It's like all this love wants to come his way.
Yeah. And guess what? Guys that will trust a great guy like that, like the same part of you that trusts that great guy, women will trust that great guy also.
Yeah.
Like I've seen some workshops where they'll bring a panel of 4 or 5 men up. They'll have women on the left-hand side, men on the right-hand side. Without this guy saying anything up on stage, the guy will say, hey, who's most trustable on stage? Mm-hmm. And they'll pick the same damn guy. You know, so it's this thing, like a trustable person to a man is also very trustable to a woman. Mm. So if you're not trustable with your guy friends, good luck with women.
All right. So tell me about this weekend you got coming up, the Red Pill Weekend. Mm-hmm. What is that all about?
The Red Pill Weekend is this, it's a roller coaster ride, 2 days long. It's in Boulder, Colorado. That's coming up May 30th and 31st. We got at least 20 facilitators, half of them women. We're bringing women in on Sunday and it's experiential. We're going to do some talking, but man, you're doing this course. It should come with a warning label because you're not going to sit in a chair like a PowerPoint slide. That's not the course we're up to. You're going to find out really more about what you give a shit about in the world, who you are in relationship to other men, like their view of you, mm-hmm. and then who you are with women, including if you're a married guy. We do these exercises that really, they can really bring up all the things that you try to hide with women, like in a matter of minutes. And a lot of this weekend is to actually have fun. Mm-hmm. A lot of this personal development work and transformational work has to be so significant. The theme for this thing is like you bring yourself, you have fun. And at the end of this course, you're going to learn for you what it looks like to create attraction. For you, what it looks like to go deeper. Where do you hold back? So you're going to walk away with more clarity on how you've been doing your life, where you've been holding back, where have you been killing attraction. You're going to leave there with total clarity on a lot of those areas.
Wow. Beautiful, man. So where do I find out more about the Red Pill?
Yeah, you can just go to www.redpillweekend.com/new man.
New man. All right, make sure you get the new man on there. Excellent, man. So I just, you know, before we go, I just want to kind of hear some of your crash and burn stories.
trip. I don't know how long the show is, but I could probably fill up 3 or 4 hours of tape with my crash and burn stories.
Well, one thing, you know, when you and I go out, we both have a blast, but yeah. I really have a blast. And I just love watching you be so natural and fun and mm-hmm. funny with anybody mm-hmm. in the room. There's this experience of play and exploration, and that's one of the things I really appreciate about mm-hmm. you. I'm like, man, I want to be more like Ray. Like, well, I want to have that. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's awesome that you're stepping up and you're offering it in a course. Like, how do you go out and just have fun? How do you just be curious? How do you, like, hey, who is that on the other side of the room mm-hmm. and not make it, oh my God, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. terrifying. Mm-hmm. And I just want to commend you for bringing your gift and sharing it with a lot of other men.
Cool, so, man. Thank you.
All right, brother. And now I've got a question for the listeners out there. How do you deal with when you've got this sexual desire, you're feeling hot for this girl? How do you go up to her and let her know that that's what's going on without being a total creep? Like, how do you do that without being a douchebag? So I want you to go on to triplinear.com and let us know how you deal with that. Thanks, Ray. I appreciate you being on the show, my man.
Thank you, Trip.
Take a minute to visit triplinear.com and let us know what you'd like to hear on The New Man. Thanks for listening.